Right, we turn to Jeremiah 8, and our text today is verse 20. The verse 20 in Jeremiah chapter 8. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Now, harvest completed is usually a time of festivity. When the fields are cleared and the barns are full, there is normally a sense of security that it will be well for the winter season. And then there can be rejoicing. And our tradition at the end of the summer season, when the harvest has been gathered in, that we give God the praise for all His blessings and for all the goodness that has been granted to us. Now, harvest thanksgiving services have been a part of the Old Testament church as well as the New. And it continues to this day that we may recognize the goodness of God and the hand of God in all the bounty that we enjoy. We recognize that the rain comes from Him, the sunshine comes from Him, and therefore the harvest is the result of His blessing. Now, this reference to summer and to harvest is attached not to gladness, but to sorrow. It is right in the midst of the prophet Jeremiah's lament concerning the nation of Israel, because he says, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. It means that the hour is late and that there is pending judgment. Now, it was true of the nation of Judah because the Chaldeans were soon to come and to bring an awful judgment upon that nation. And soon their days of plenty, their days of freedom would be over, and they would be brought into that awful and long-term 70-year captivity. Now, it's also true for souls today that are not saved, who have no salvation, who have no faith in the Lord Jesus, because soon the trumpet will sound, and it will have to be said then, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. And while Jeremiah was appealing to the agricultural livelihoods of the people, he was using this descriptive language to warn them and to plead with them that they would attend to the urgent danger. And this surely is what the Lord says to us today, that the summer is over, the harvest is past, and we are not saved. We need to attend to the urgent need of our souls. Now, I see in this three key parts in this text. There is summer, harvest, and not saved. The summer refers to the opportunity of growing up. And as we have enjoyed here in this another year, we have seen the fields as they grow, the crops as they develop. And so the summer is the opportunity of growing up. Then there is the harvest, and that's the process of gathering in. And for some crops, it's the work of a day. For others, it's the work of weeks and perhaps months to complete the harvest. And so there's a process to it. And they're not saved. That's the judgment of being shut out. And so I want us to look today at these three parts to this text. The summer, the opportunity of growing up. That's the first one. Now, it is summer in your life when you enjoy gospel liberties. When you're born into a country just like Canada, or perhaps another part of the world, where the Bible is a given, where Christian churches and the evangelistic preaching of the gospel is something that you've never been a stranger to. It is something that you've known perhaps all of your days. It's summer in your life when you have been encouraged by family and friends to attend to your soul, to listen to the message of the gospel, and to realize your need of a Savior. It was summer in your life, perhaps when you were visited by a pastor or a church member, and they came along to you one-to-one, and they spoke to you about the Lord, about salvation, about your personal need of a Savior. And perhaps at first you found that somewhat strange and maybe a little radical. But let me tell you, that is summer in your soul when you are hearing the sweet message of God's grace, God's way of salvation, God's way of peace through the cross of Calvary. And while you were hearing that, maybe for the first time or the 100th time, and reminded of your need of salvation, it was summer in your life. It's also summer when you learn the facts of Christ's life and death. Christ died. That is perhaps the great fact of church history. Has there ever been a time when you did not know that the Lord Jesus was the Son of God and he came into this world to die on a cruel cross to take away the sins of his people? Has there ever been a time when you didn't know a very simple text like this? Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. That's summertime when you are learning those things. And then as you grow in knowledge and an understanding of the gospel, it's not only that Christ died, but that he died for us, in our place. That on the cross, the Lord Jesus died a substitutionary death in our stead, in our place. And so that while those nails were driven through his hand and feet, those were for our sins that our Lord was crucified. And then you came to the conclusion that Jesus is not only the Son of God, he's the Lamb of God. He is that sacrifice that he suffers and died in your place. Let me assure you, as you came to grapple and understand these great things of the Christian gospel, that was summer. Summer in all its opportunities of learning the message of the gospel. It's also summer when you're delivered from the storms of unbelief. Now here in this part of the world, we don't have a lot of storms. Perhaps in the October period, late October, we usually get some fall storms, wind and rain and so on. But by and large, most of the harvest is over by that time, by typical patterns of weather. But where I was this last week down in Alabama, they get storms all the time. In fact, on Wednesday morning, there was mighty rain right outside my window. And we were getting the tail end of a huge storm that hit the southern part of Alabama, uprooting trees and doing all kinds of damage. Now, in the summer season, there can be storms. And there is a need for protection from those storms. Now, the greatest storm that can happen in anyone's heart and soul is the storm of unbelief. When that blast of cruel hatred against the truth blows upon your heart and mind, and you begin to deal with some of the awful issues of the world in which we live, the humanism, the liberalism, the ungodly things that are said against the truth, and you have to face up to them. And they can cause an awful unbelief in your heart. And sometimes it doesn't take very much. When people go off the rails and they go away from the truth of God's Word, we ask, what mighty force came into their lives? But sometimes it doesn't take very much. Just like a little shrub. And you may plant it in the springtime, and it grows for a period of time, but if it gets the first frost, if it gets a cold wind, it can cause it to shrivel and perhaps die. And we would have thought, how would that harm it? How would that damage it? Because of location, because of that wind that came at a wrong time in its growing pattern, then damage is done. And let me tell you, it has been summer in your life. When you have been protected from the awful unbelief that is against the truths of the gospel. And while you were able to read your Bible and say, this is God's word to me. And you were able to take those promises and say, these are real, I can take them and enjoy them. That is summer in your soul. It's also summer when you realize your personal need of a Savior. That is God's gift and God's grace at work. And it has to be the work of the warm wind of the Holy Spirit, bringing you to that place where you recognize your individual need of the Savior. And we know from the teaching of the Bible, and we know from human experience and dealing with men, that there is such a depravity and an ungodliness in the human heart that when men want to be saved, when they want to call on the Lord as their Savior, that is not natural. That is the Holy Spirit working. In the book of John's Gospel, I'd like you to turn to this with me. In John's Gospel, chapter 14, and we'll begin to read at verse 7, just to note the work of the Holy Spirit in a convert's life. And we have to say that when the Holy Spirit comes to your heart, it is definitely the work of the Holy Spirit. It's summer when the Holy Spirit is at work. John 14 and beginning verse 7. If you had known me, 16. Chapter 16, verse 7. The Lord Jesus said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now you might be asking, has the Holy Spirit been sent to me? Have I been blessed with the voice and the promptings of the Holy Spirit? Well, let's look at his work. Verse 8, and when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin. Now, you might say, is that a friendly work? Is that a nice thing to be made to face your sin and to recognize your wrongdoing and your guilt? But that is the work of the Holy Spirit, to bring you to a real personal faith in the Lord. He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. I want you to see that the Holy Spirit is a very gentle teacher. I want you to see that when the Holy Spirit deals with your sin and righteousness and judgment to come, that the Lord Jesus said, there's things in your life you can't bear them now. If I was to give you the whole picture at one go, it would crush you. It would drive you to despair. But when the Holy Spirit has come, how will he function? Well, in verse 13, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whosoever or whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and show it unto you. Let me tell you, if you are growing in your grasp of the gospel of sin, judgment to come, eternity, and your need of a personal Savior, that's the warm wind of the Holy Spirit. It's summertime. These are days of opportunity in your soul as the Spirit of God reveals the Lord Jesus to you. And just as the harvest, the stalks, they grow so green and then they turn a golden color and eventually white for harvest, there is that very gracious work in your soul as you are given opportunity after opportunity to hear the message of the gospel. I wonder today, will you give your heart to the Savior and thank Him for the opportunities that you have? And even here today, another opportunity. The Lord is dealing in grace. You've been enjoying summer gospel days in your life from the good hand of God. I hope you see that today. And I hope because of the Lord's goodness to you that you'll give Him your heart, that you'll give Him your life, that you'll make Him your Savior, that He has come not as your enemy but as your friend to save your soul. I want to move now to the harvest. After the growing up of the summer, there is the gathering in of the harvest. And it's gathering in when you not only hate your sin, but you are willing to forsake your sin. That's when the sickle is being thrust in, and you are willing, just as the stalk has to be cut from its root, and there has to be that separation from the past. When you are willing not only to recognize that you're a sinner, and you have committed sin, but you're willing to forsake your sin, then it's harvest. There is a gathering in work being done. The Proverbs tell us, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whosoever forsaketh his sin shall have mercy. And that is the very important process of harvesting. It is separating the wheat from the chaff. And every combine harvester, although you look on the outward appearance and all of the machinery on the inside is invisible to the viewer as you look over the hedgerow at the farmer harvesting his grain. But inside that combine harvester, as the grain or the straw and the sheaves are taken right inside, there are drums at work. And the harvester, the operator of that machine can change the settings. And if it's large seeds, a large drum with larger holes. But the process is to separate the wheat from the chaff and from the stalks. And that is the work of harvest. And it is very similar in your soul. That if you can say today that I not only know that I'm a sinner, but I'm willing to leave it behind. And as the grain is separated and goes into the grain tank to be loaded into the truck for the grain bins, the straw, it goes out as chaff at the rear of the machine. And sometimes it's all chopped up so that it's just scattered in the stubble and is ploughed in another year. And so in the harvesting of a soul, there is this separation work. Can you say that this is true in your heart? That God has given you the grace to leave the world behind, leave your sin behind, and that the Lord will gather you to live for Him and one day be with Him in glory. It's gathering in when you hear the Word of God with joy. We're told in the parable of the sower that the seed was received with joy. Now there are people that are offended by the gospel. That's very evident when you tell people that they need to be saved and delivered from their ways of sin. and they don't want to hear the gospel. But when people rejoice and they say, I'm delighted with the wonderful gospel promises, where the Lord Jesus said, for example, in John 6:37, all they that come to me, I will in no wise cast out. And people just relax and rejoice and rest in that wonderful gospel promise. Or where the Lord says that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And it is harvest in our souls when we can take those gospel texts and say, that's for me. That's the promise I need. As I see my sin and I see my need of a Savior, that's for me, and you rejoice in it. Or as in Isaiah 1:18, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And just to take those wonderful gospel promises and say, upon that promise, I'm going to give my heart to the Lord Jesus. I tell you, it's harvest. There's a gathering in process in your very soul, and you're ready to trust the Lord. Well, then I would bid you come. Put your trust in the Lord. Give Him your heart. Thank Him for working in you to show you these wonderful promises, and trust Him. One more thing about the harvest. It's gathering in when you're willing to renounce every other hope for heaven. We live in a multicultural society with multi-faiths, multi-ideas when it comes to religion. But this Bible is very, very clear. There is one way to the Father. And the Lord Jesus said, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Or as the apostles taught in Acts 4:12, there is one name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. And when you come to the realization that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one who died on the cross of Calvary for sin, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world, that He's the only hope for a sinner. He's the only hope for your soul. And when you come to that definite conclusion, let me tell you, you're ripe for harvesting. You're ready to enter into the kingdom of God. The Lord said of Nicodemus that he was near the kingdom. Near the kingdom. And let me assure you that if you can say now that the Lord Jesus is the only Savior, He's the only way to the Father, you're near the kingdom. You are ready to enter in. And the harvesting work is taking place in your soul. But you're not in till you're in. You're not in till the work is completed. And when the Ethiopian eunuch asked Philip the evangelist how he could be saved, or what doth hinder him to be baptized, he was told, if thou believest with all thine heart that God hath raised the Lord Jesus from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And he said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And there was that confession that clinched the deal, that brought that man who was exercised about his need of a Savior, he was brought to grasp and to cleave to the Lord, believing. And it is faith by which you enter in. Will you put your faith today in the Lord and trust Him with all your heart? That brings us to the third part here today, the not saved, the judgment of being shut out. And this was what was breaking the prophet's heart. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. This was a matter of awful, awful tragedy. And just as when God built Noah's Ark and the doors shut, the worldly men were shut out with not a hope of heaven, Or are those virgins who went to find oil for their lamps, and the bridegroom came, and the door was shut? There was no way in. And you are shut out when you harden your heart too long. Oh yes, it's possible to say no to the Lord too long. This happened to Israel. This was the issue that Jeremiah was addressing. He had pleaded with these people with tears in his eyes that they would leave their sin and turn to the Lord. But they said no. They rejected the prophet's message. And so there are many today, and they harden their heart to the message of the gospel. They say no continually. And the word of the proverb tells us, he that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. When you do not hear the voice of God in your soul anymore, you're shut out. There is a place, there is a juncture that men reach when they have hardened their heart for so long that God no longer speaks to them, no longer calls them. They are what the Bible calls an apostate, ready to be burned. There's no hope for them. Genesis 6:3, just before the flood came, God said to Noah, my spirit shall not always strive with man. There came a time when men were shut out. The day of preaching was over. The day of grace was over. And all those outside the ark, even while the rain was yet to come, because God waited till the rain came, but they were doomed. And there may be someone here today, and you have heard the voice of God, and you have been exercised about all these issues. You have realized your sin, realized your guilt. You realize that Jesus is the only Savior. He's the only way to the Father. But you have hardened your heart. And there's coming a point at which the Lord will stop speaking and stop calling. Now you may well be asking, has that already happened to me? Am I sitting here on this Thanksgiving Sunday in church in Cloverdale and God has already abandoned me and I am already shut out? I have had people who come to me and they live in despair and they fear that God is not showing them mercy and has no mercy for them. Well, the answer to that in a pastoral, definite answer is this. If you have a desire for mercy for your soul, there is mercy for you. Because the one who hardens his heart and whom God has stopped showing mercy, they have no desire, no yearning, no longing to be right with God. They love their sin and they love the way of the world. And if you have the very least desire for heaven and long for salvation, I can say on the authority of the Bible, you're not shut out. You're not without grace or without mercy. But God will bring you in and save you, no matter how long you have said no to him already. However, if you reject the voice of the Spirit of God, I cannot promise that he will speak to you again at a future time. I cannot guarantee from the Word of God that next week, next year, God will invite you and draw you to his saving grace. Because the Bible promises, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. And the promise is for you now, as you hear his voice, as you yearn for peace with God, then there is a way of entering in. Then on a more practical basis, I have to say that there are those who are shut out from God's mercy. When they come to that point of life where they have no longer mental faculties, and you can go to some extended care homes and you will meet people and you can't share the gospel with them anymore. They have no longer the mental capacity to understand or receive the gospel. And while they may only be months, days, or a short period away from the grave, there is no way to speak to them, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And many have come to the point where they can't understand the difference between their left hand and their right hand. They have sinned away the days of opportunity. They are shut out. Shut out. And it happens when you breathe your last breath in this world and you die without a Savior. Maybe through some prolonged illness in a hospital bed, but maybe through a car accident, and you're taken away in a moment without an opportunity to call on the Lord. And the moment that your heart stops beating, the moment breath leaves your body, if you die not a Christian, die without a Savior, you're shut out. In Luke 16, we read of the rich man and Lazarus the beggar. Lazarus died, and immediately he was carried into Abram's bosom, right in the presence of God immediately. The rich man also died and was buried. His body was laid in a grave. But he lifted up his eyes in torments. Instantly, immediately, in a place of destruction. There is no such thing as annihilation after death. There is such a thing as the disembodied state, where the body is in the grave and the soul is in eternity. And on the judgment day, when the graves are opened, the bodies will rise and there will be the reuniting of body and soul. But where will you be? And if today you have said no to the gospel and no to the Christian life and to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus, and you say, I want to live for the world, I want to live for sports, I want to live for money, I want to live for pleasure, I want to live for myself, I don't want to yield my heart to Christ, I don't want to live the Christian life, I don't want to be united to those people that call themselves gospel lovers, I want the way of the world. And you die in that state. You're shut out. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and you're not saved. Not a hope. To procrastinate, of course, is offensive to God. Billy Sunday said that deathbed repentance is burning the candle of life at both ends and blowing the smoke in the face of God. Why would you hold back from giving your heart and life to the Lord Jesus? Now, as we have learned in this passage today, harvest festivity comes when the grain is brought in. And I can only tell you to rejoice. I can only make you at peace with God when you have yielded your heart to Him and trusted Him. And then there will be joy in heaven over one soul that repenteth. And there'll be joy in this church. There'll be joy in my heart when you give your heart to the Lord Jesus. Oh, let us not make the lament as Jeremiah. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. How is it with you today? Is this a Thanksgiving Sunday for the salvation of your soul? Or is this a day to join the lament of Jeremiah, which brings grief? Oh, I pray that today that you will be saved. Now, I would love to help you to make that step of faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. I'm only a finger post. I can't save you, but I can point you to the Word of God, to the verses of the Bible. Some of them I've quoted already, and maybe you need help to look them up and to pray over them. And I'm glad to help you as you would seek the Lord as your personal Savior today. And this will become the very harvest of your own soul. I trust that you will speak to me as others leave, and as perhaps at the door or sit in your seat, and I'll be happy to come and share with you this word of God's salvation. May the Lord be gracious and bless His word to each and every heart today.